Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Total Rugby League Show. And joining me here in a drizzly Yorkshire, it's nothing against Yorkshire, it's drizzly everywhere across the north of England at the moment. We're joined by Mr. Aaron Bauer. Matthew Shaw is here.
Hello.
And Matty Sadler's here.
Good morning.
So, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's show. A full fixture preview for this weekend's matches in Super League coming your way shortly. We'll also be bringing you an update from France, as Mike Rylands will be joining us to walk us through the runners and riders for the French Championship as the season draws to an exciting close. But before that, we started off last week talking about Hull KR. It did feel like I had Woodward and Bernstein in my mists. and thankfully for Aaron and for Matthew, the story was proved correct.
Yes.
What do we take of the fact that you were correct, Matthew? And secondly, the ultimate thing that happened, which was Tony Smith coming in.
Well, me being correct, that doesn't happen very often. So that was a nice change from the norm. Regarding Tony Smith, should we start on Tim Sheens? I think he's been a bit done by, not only in the way that it's transpired, but at the end of the day, he came in 2017. They'd been relegated. His job year once was to get them up, and he got them up. His job year two was to keep them up, and he kept them up.
There's been no real explanation as to why they thought it was time for Sheens to go. Have you heard anything, Aaron? I mean, I've not seen it. It sort of sneaked out, you know, via Total Rugby League, didn't it, last week? And we've not had any clarity. And I suppose when, you know, a club says goodbye to a coach, they always sign a document that keeps everything secret and in-house. But I'm still not sure. What have you any insight?
I think it was just time for a change. I think Neil Udgell decided it was time to go in a different direction.
Were the players not performing for him or what?
They'd lost six from the last seven, hadn't they? But
yeah, but they've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not as though Tim doesn't know what he's doing. I mean, he's you know, he's probably the most experienced coach in Super League.
I would suggest, though, that there's probably been some in-house fighting for a while. I don't think Tim Sheens made any secret of the fact that at the start of the year when they were doing recruitment, it was the board, it came from above him, that they had to cut the squad in terms of numbers, which is something that I don't believe he wanted to do, but it was kind
of... Well, no coach ever wants to do that, does he? Let's face it.
I'm of the opinion that if you want to make... You know, it's Neil Udgell's club, it's Neil Udgell's money, he can do everything's right for OKR, and if someone of Tony Smith's calibre becomes available and you think the time's right for a change, well, there aren't going to be many better candidates out there at any stage than someone like Tony Smith, so I think he's done what he thinks is right for his club, and only time will tell if that proves to be right or not.
And for Tony, it is till the end of the season. Do we think if he keeps them up, it'll be a bit more long term?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if not. I'd be surprised if anyone would go in of Tony's calibre for a couple of months, and that'd be it. That said, you know, he did seem a bit disillusioned with the game when he left it. He seems a lot more re-energised now, a lot more enthusiastic.
He certainly
liked
some of the changes that have been made. He's made that very clear. And it actually is great to have him back, because when Tony quit Warrington at the end of 2017, he did seem to cut himself off from rugby league, didn't he? He didn't answer phone calls. You know, he was just... I think he'd had enough, quite frankly, at the time, and he made that clear himself. And he got involved in mentoring football coaches at places like Burnley and so on, and I think was very successful in doing that. So, you know, it's interesting. But I got a feeling earlier this year that he might be looking to get away back into the game, because I know he was very, you know, he had a meeting with Trent Robinson of the Roosters when the Roosters were here for the World Club Challenge. So, you know, that sort of gave me a feeling that he might be on his way back at some point.
I mean, for Hull KR themselves, there's a lot of exciting stuff in the pipeline with regards to, you know, academies and training grounds and that kind of thing around the stadium. So
I think Neil Udgell is wanting to buy the stadium back, isn't he, from the local authority. And I think that probably... that deal will go through if it hasn't already.
They've got to stay up, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I don't, and I keep saying it, I still think that they are the weakest team in the league.
Well,
I think they are.
The pressure's on. The pressure is on, and that's because London Broncos... I'm going to come to you, Aaron, because me and you had a trail of thought last week, and we were saying to Danny Ward, giving him some sound advice. Pick well, your
we
fixtures.
Didn't, yeah, we didn't account for St Helens leaving 6 or 7 exactly. first turns out, did we? No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
But
it's,
I wonder when did London know that they were going to be up against the weekend St Helens team?
Probably about 2 o'clock. Saturday,
yeah, yeah.
Sunday
so,
afternoon.
I mean, you know, change of plan late on.
I mean, it's still a phenomenal result, in yeah, all fairness, is, and really has put the cat amongst the pigeons.
They'll still go down. Hull Car, I saw Hull Car first hand Sunday without flipping it on to Hull Car. Yeah, they'll be all right. I think Hull Car will be fine. I still maintain, you know, look, London, what they are doing is they're doing something that very few people thought they'd do. We're in the middle of June and they're only inside the relegation zone on points difference. I just think Hull Car are more likely to win more games between now and the end of the season.
But don't forget, coming up in... over a week's time, London versus Hull KR.
Yeah, that's massive.
That's the game of the season. Actually,
that might change my that might change my opinion if London win that. But I'm sticking with
Hull
KR for now.
Are you going to be heading down to that game?
Yeah, we'll
because
be doing,
I mean
yeah.
that's just tremendous, sensational, isn't it?
Are we moving? Not moving the goalposts, but moving what's possible now? Because we said how many games do London realistically need to stay up?
Yeah.
Is it still 4 or 5, or is it getting even more competitive down there about how many teams can be dragged into this and what's possible?
They probably need another... I think they probably need 18 points, maybe 20. That's the thing. I do think Hull KR will win some games between now and the end of the season. This isn't a team in... You know, I know the form's not great, but they don't look like a team that are in free fall. They're okay. You know, they had to play Dagger. I'm pretty sure they'd have won that game with Maguire on Sunday. Dagger had to play half-back and, he looked a little bit raw for parts of it.
Do you think Wigan are in any danger?
No.
Oh, I've got a list of teams who are in danger now. We can all look at the league table and go,
Wigan Leeds actually is quite a big game on Friday now,
because
I think one more for Wigan would just finally kill off any doubt about them being dragged into it.
Even now, the gap is 4 points at the moment.
Yeah, but I think London are... Look, I said this last week, didn't I? London are probably going to get beat in Perpignan on Saturday. Hull KR, you would back Warrington, wouldn't you? So then if Wigan would win at Headingley, it would become 6, wouldn't it? I think Wigan, again, I saw Wigan first hand Sunday. I think they're slowly moving in the right direction. I still don't think they'll make the 5, but I think they'll be too good by the end to be dragged into it.
I'm going to continue a second, Matthew, but Martin took a deep breath then and he was about to say
something. Well, the 5 is an interesting... I mean, there are some really interesting games this weekend, and one of them is the first one, Castleford versus Hull, because if Castleford win, both Castleford and Hull will be on 20 points, won't they? And they'll be well ahead of the pack then. But if Hull can win at Castleford, then it makes the top 5... achievable for a lot more clubs.
Do we think whoever wins that game is going to be safe from relegation, Martin? That's the most
important thing. Well, Castleford and Hull. Yeah. I think there might be. I think there might be. But Leeds and Wigan, as Aaron says, what a fantastic game that is.
I mean, we'll discuss these relegation games in a second, because there's quite a few actually this weekend. It's more interesting than the race for the top 5, in all fairness. But Matthew, you were pulling all kinds of faces there when Aaron was going through his list of, you know, what's potentially coming up for the teams down the bottom end. What's your take?
I agree with him on Wigan. Wigan won't go down. There's only 3 teams that could go down for me. And they are
You still think Leeds could?
Because I'm with Aaron that I think Hull KR are probably, under Tony Smith, going to improve. But look at London's results and their performances recently. They've improved as well. And Leeds, I was at the Wakefield game on Friday, and they've improved as well, so they're all getting better.
Well, Leeds' defence has improved, particularly near the line, hasn't it?
That was tremendous.
That was what they crucially needed to improve. Yeah. And they seem to have done it. You know, they kept Wakefield out near the line. They didn't give any tries away from dummy half. I think they could pull away. And if they beat Wigan on Friday, I think Leeds are heading out of trouble.
If I was to be concerned about one club who may get dragged back
Don't say Salford, Matthew.
There are reasons for this. I've said for a long time I think Salford could push for the 5. But there are players leaving. It's no secret that players are leaving. It's all in the papers, in League Express, where they're going. How does that affect their mentality? They're not a million miles off the bottom now. So if any club's going to get dragged into it, I would think Salford. That said, I still think Salford are far, far too good to get drawn into it.
Isn't this conversation really proof that we really need to expand Super League, because we haven't got any mid-table sides who've got nothing to play for. Yeah. It's quite ridiculous.
That's a good thing.
I had my tongue in my cheek.
I mean, I've got to say, I think this is the most interesting Super League season for years.
Yeah, I do.
I really do. And, you know, we used to talk about the, you know, under the Super 8 system, but which I hated. But I think this system now is just, you can't really predict it very easily, can you?
I think the only criticism I'd have, I think we've only got one outstanding team. Where I think in years before that, you've had two, three, or maybe even four outstanding teams. I think Saints are the only outstanding team. I don't think you can even put Warrington in that bracket.
Yeah, I think it's because the season is so long and difficult and challenging, actually, if I'm really honest about it. And part of that is the reduction in substitutions that teams can have. So players are getting, you know, fatigued a lot more easily than they were before. And, you know, that's got good and bad points about it, hasn't it? Because it frees the game up. But in terms of excitement, I mean, you know, you look at the Golden Point games at the weekend, Wigan winning at... I mean, that could have easily been a Golden Point game as well, couldn't it, at Hull KR? So, you know, the league is more competitive than it's been for a long time. And the bottom team beating the top team, regardless of the fact that they rested some players,
practically
that's still a, you know, it's a great thing. In any competition, when the bottom team beats the top team, it's a sign of a competition that's working, in my opinion.
Let's go to some of the fixtures then for this weekend. Saturday, we'll come to the Friday games and the Thursday game in a second, but Saturday's a big day down the bottom end. As we said earlier, Perpignan will be hosting Catalans against London. London, crucially, will know the result of Hull KR against Warrington because that game kicks off 2 hours earlier. But those are very difficult games, to say the least, for the two teams down the bottom end.
Hard to see London winning in Perpignan, but then it's been hard to see them winning, you know, in any games this season.
Perpignan's a bit of a different kettle of fish, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, but Hull KR v Warrington, I mean, you were at Hull KR on Sunday. It must have been agony for the Hull KR fans listening to the result, you know, the scoreline coming through from London.
I think with 16 or 17 minutes left, they were 4 points clear of London, and then they've finished quarter of an hour later and joint bottom. It was a great day. You know, I said in the
could
report...
You sense it in the crowd?
Yeah, you could, I said in the report that Super League can very rarely point to drama at both ends of the country, can it? But, you know, that was a day to shout about that, I thought, because there was stuff happening at, you know, in London and up in Yorkshire, so it was pretty sizable, and it'd be interesting to look back in September. I know we'll forget all about it because that's what we do, but in 3 or 4 months' time, if we look back and just wonder just how important a day that was, I think it could turn out to potentially be decisive.
It's a big day for Tony Smith going back to Warrington as well, and it's a really important game.
Yeah, it is an important game. I think for Tony, I think if we're realistic, and I know we're saying this off the back of London beating Saints, but I think if he just sees another step up in performance and they can be competitive against the team second in the league, I think he'll be fairly satisfied with that. I will say this, though. I think London could win in Catalans. I think they could win. Catalans have a few out at the minute.
It's not impossible, is it?
And
Catalans have been really tired.
It is impossible.
And there is some... there's a lot of reasons to be motivated for London going into that game.
But so when you say Hull KR, Tony Smith's got to be satisfied with an improved performance. Yeah, of course, that's true. But I think he's only going to be satisfied with a win. You know, you're getting to that stage of the season where performance, you know...
I know what you're saying.
Do you prefer a win or a good performance?
Are you going a win every time? Of course. Undoubtedly. Yeah. But I think you've got to be realistic as well. Playing Warrington, are they going to win that game?
Yeah, but I mean, unlikely. You'd have said the same thing to London.
Say Hull KR are going to lose, but London might win.
Well, I can't because I just did. All I'm saying is, I think that if they improve again, going into some easier games that they've got, I don't think Tony will be too fussed what London do.
They'll both lose.
We should say the Cats.
Didn't you say that London shouldn't even bother last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see Hull KR on Sunday? They'll be all right.
Okay.
They'll be all right.
Catalans v London is live on telly as well, we should say, on Saturday afternoon. Just to say about the TV game on Friday, because that's obviously got relegation connotations as well. Leeds against Wigan.
There's been some big Leeds Wigan's games in history, aren't there? But I'm not sure for completely different reasons.
More this riding
is one
on
of,
it.
Yeah, this is one of the bigger ones for completely different reasons.
Do you reckon Leeds have dried out yet from Thursday? From Friday, because that was horrendous, wasn't it?
Oh, God. I don't want to watch another game like that ever again. Crikey, that was.
Leeds were good, Leeds were good.
They played good wet weather rugby, they did. Yeah.
Played really tough. Yeah. It was a good performance.
They wouldn't have won that game 4 or 5 weeks ago.
I mean, for a start, I think Wakefield forced 3 repeat sets in the first 10 minutes. They ended up actually, because they gave away a few penalties as well, defending 6 sets on their own line in the opening 10 minutes and didn't come away having been breached, which for Leeds this season is just unheard of. So
the thing about Richard Agar that everybody really knows, I think, is that he's a very good technical guy. He understands the game technically as much as anybody else, in my view. And he's been all over the world, actually, as assistant coach. And you tend to find that guys tend to be appointed into as assistant coaches because of their technical knowledge and the support they can give to the head coach. Well, he's actually, I think, brought that technical knowledge to the fore now at Headingley, and I think he's the guy who's got hold of this defensive weakness on the line. And, I mean, you can't say he's put it right, definitely, because, I mean, you know, we might see on Friday night the same old weaknesses against Wigan, but it looks as though it's getting that way, doesn't it? So I think he's doing a really good job. I don't think they need to hurry to get a replacement coach at the moment.
I don't think they do.
I don't know who they've got in mind.
They'd be wise to spend 4 or 5 months now getting the next appointment right, wouldn't they? Because I think they'll be okay with.
They don't need to hurry.
I just think, again, to a lesser extent, it's why I see OKR being okay. I just think there's enough quality there. I know you can. You know, you're not too good to go down. That's history's proven that in sport, hasn't it? But I just think there's too much quality in that Leeds squad, and that was a good win for a lot of reasons on Friday night. It was a tough, gritty game, and it's not a win you would associate with a team who are in grave danger at the bottom. Teams like that generally tend to lose those kind of games. Leeds showed a lot of fight, a lot of spirit. Defensively, to nil a team in any sport is pretty impressive. Well, in rugby, but I think they're going the right way.
What about Callum Watkins? Because we covered it really briefly last week, but I mean, what's
interesting? He played in the forwards.
Yeah. Played about 50 tackles. Dude.
What's the deal, Matthew?
I think the reality is Leeds have got salary cap problems. They have a salary cap problem. They've got too many players that are on a value that they're not worth. And you could list probably 5, 6, 7, 8. Callum Watkins, unfortunately, this year falls into that bracket. Is it his fault? Probably not necessarily, because he's come back from a very, very serious injury. He was going onto a bigger salary next year, so they felt like they had to move him on to free up space so that whoever the next coach is, they can bring in their own players. I think it's, from a business point of view, a good move for Leeds. Has it been done the right way? Well, he said it's been done amicably. He was happy to move on. He said he's got options elsewhere, so be it. I think everyone moves on, and I think probably both will be better off for it.
I think it's the best move for all parties. And I thought he played like a man who had had a weight lifted off his shoulders on Friday night.
He looked
actually
that way, didn't he? Yeah. He
53
that way.
Tackles he made playing in the back row, and he put him in the back row earlier this year. It's obviously going to take a bit of time to adjust to a new position, but I thought he looked pretty good there. I don't get me wrong, I don't think that's where he belongs long term. He's still only 28, you know. Let's not retire the guy and shove him in the pack yet. But I think when you look at the way Harry Newman played for Leeds as well on Friday night, there probably is an element of a changing of the guard there, and Leeds probably have looked and thought, well, we've now got 3 very, very good centres in Watkins, Hurrell and Newman. We're going to have to move one of them on, and Watkins is obviously, you know, it's obviously, like Matt says, it's obviously amicable. Watkins has obviously decided to move on as well, because you can't just rip up 2 years of a contract without telling someone. So I think he'll get a move that will freshen him up at this stage of his career. Leeds will get Newman into the team every week. I think it's a good move, and I think, you know, the fact, like Matt says, everyone's happy with it just amplifies the fact that I think it's been blown out of proportion a little bit, the fact that Leeds have handled it terribly or anything like that. I don't think
but
that
Aaron, you've normally got your ear to the ground. Where do you think he's going to go?
Well, going to be asking for big money, and I think he's right to ask for big money. I think he is a marquee player. I think, you know, he's not 100% fit at the moment. I think I believe, and this is only my opinion, there was probably an element of him and or the club rushing him back from that ACL. He hasn't looked quite right. I think, you know, when he gets a full off-season into him next year,
I think he'll be a marquee player.
The question is, though, brilliant. Whether you ever really recover from that sort of operation.
Yeah, but to be back
to what you were.
For someone who was as good as Callum was, I don't think you become poor overnight.
Do you think he might go into the other code?
I hope not. I could see why he would. I think he'd be a great outside centre in rugby union. I think he'd look really good there. But I hope not. I hope his future's in rugby league, because I think he's got a future for Great Britain this year. He could play for England in the World Cup still. No, I'd be devastated, actually, if Callum went.
I got the impression, speaking to him on Friday, that while there is offers from Union there, it's not the top of his agenda. I got the impression that the NRL was probably his ideal scenario.
I was going to say, while we're discussing this, Wigan leads his opponents this weekend, securing players. Joe Burgess signing an extension to his contract.
And the rest
as well. I mean, there's a long list of players, isn't there? That's good for continuity, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good. Right, anyway, so that game will be live on TV on Friday night, Leeds against Wigan. Also on Friday, St Helens against Huddersfield. Both teams looking to bounce back, but for very different reasons, really, I think. Huddersfield,
Yeah. Lee Gaskell, though. When he plays, Huddersfield are a completely different team.
You know, Huddersfield have lost three games by a point this season.
Huddersfield lost three games.
By a point.
It's almost, yeah, I know what you're saying. Just how many lost in golden point? Just one, just Friday.
And then the other two have been in normal time, 1 point.
Is that a good or a bad thing? Because you just mentioned Wakefield there. Everyone's all over Wakefield like a rash when they lose close games, aren't they? No. You know what I'm saying? The accusation of being levied at Wakefield that they were beyond.
It's a narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, below the top bracket because they couldn't win close games. Well, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing for Huddersfield, because they were probably further away this time last year. I suppose the fact they're closing the gap a little bit is good, but
yeah, there's two ways to look at it. Because if they'd have won those three games, it'd be third, and then you'd be talking like Huddersfield, like, wow. But when you lose three games by a point, and it's there's only been like in a 3 month period, you start to wonder if it's coincidence then, or there is a deeper issue. Like Aaron says, the good thing is they're competing, and they're getting close, but they're not coming out on the right side. So I think for now the jury's still out. If they lose a couple more like that, then you've got to say that there's a problem that needs addressing quickly.
Well, certainly Simon Woolford seems to get very frustrated, doesn't he? You look at his comments and he really has a go at his own players, it seems to me. And I just wonder how productive that is, actually, from his point of view. You know, if I were one of those players, I'm not sure I'd welcome that, if I'm honest about it.
I welcome it because he's one of the most honest coaches in Super League, he's refreshing to hear. Yeah. Whether the players like it or not, I don't know. If I had my coach saying we self-exploded, having nearly won at Castleford, I think I'd be a little bit
annoyed. I like him. I've said it before on here. I think he's very, very good. I think he's the guy who can bring some stability and continuity to Huddersfield. They've got a lot of good young English kids as well in there.
They have, and they keep signing them, don't they?
I think even if they don't make the five this year, I wouldn't be worried if I was a Huddersfield fan. I think I'd see enough there to see. You look at some teams, don't you, and you think either they're going to sort of improve next year, there's so much uncertainty you don't really know, or you've got a pretty good idea that they're reaching the end of the cycle. You know, you had that feeling with Leeds and Wigan the last couple of years. Huddersfield are very much a team that you look at and think, well, they could actually, in the coming years, they could get better and better. Russell at halfback,
he's really coming on, isn't he?
Jacob Wardle. Look, if they can keep your McIntosh, if they can Lehman, if they can keep Gaskell fit, which is the million dollar thing for Huddersfield, if they can get Gaskell playing 75-80% of games in a season, they're going to compete.
I think in 2 years' time, Huddersfield will be a real force in Super League.
Yeah,
their biggest problem is getting support, isn't it? That's what they need.
Shame they've lost Mellor, but again, you know, you can't be able to ransom by any one player. Can you?
Forgive my ignorance, but at their height a few years ago, what was their attendance like?
Oh yeah, it was about six, wasn't it? Yeah. So it's dropped off a little bit.
The problem is 6,000's not that.
No, it is. It is. Bad. It is from where the competition wants to go. Yeah. There are four or five clubs who are underperforming.
If they're averaging 6,000 now, you wouldn't be like, well, they're awful. The issue is that they play in such a big stadium that it makes it look
10 times worse than it actually is.
I know, yeah, because you compare that with a Wakefield, for example, who get a similar crowd in a stadium that's, you know, 70% full.
Yeah. And it feels
But there's a problem with crowds generally, isn't it? I mean, at the weekend, there were 6 Super League games and only one got over 10,000, and that was only very marginally over 10,000 at Warrington.
Yeah, and a lot of the big clubs away from home.
Saints were away.
Yeah, but Leeds. So they're away, so what? The competition now should be averaging over 10,000 easily, you know, quite frankly.
Why?
Because it's been going a long time. We've got it's a tremendous competition, and it should be capable of attracting more supporters than it does.
What I don't get about the whole crowd debate, though, is people go back in the day, like at the start of the Super League era, then 98, well, the crowds are bigger than they were then. So I don't get it. I don't get why people think.
Well, some crowds are bigger than they were then. Some
the
crowds
average
are
the average crowd is bigger now than it was.
But it's not bigger than it was just a few years ago.
Not at the start of the decade.
Yeah,
no.
it's been significantly higher than it is now.
If Super League can post a bigger, I would say it's more about baby steps and trying to improve year on year. And I think, again, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing London because I think they're great, but if Super League can post a higher average attendance this year than last year with London in the competition, that is a win. Mm. And if you factor in that, you know, you're going to get short odds on swapping London and Toronto next year, then you're going to go up again. I just think baby, you know, where were we this time last year? I think looking back 5 years or 15 or 20 years is pretty futile. Where were we 12 months ago? Let's build on where we were and let's improve year on year. And I think, you know, Martin's right in a way. I think 6,000 crowds are disappointing. I think the sport and the entertainment it provides deserves more people getting through the gates. But unfortunately,
we're poor at, you know, communicating the message, aren't we, in our sport. That's the point.
The club. I've said this before. People blame the RFL. People blame Super League. I don't think
it's the clubs.
The clubs don't do enough to promote the games.
It's the responsibility of the clubs. The RFL can't go out onto the streets of blooming Wakefield and Huddersfield and force people to buy tickets.
It's not the RFL's problem anymore.
Well, no. So Super League can't do that.
Mm. Yeah. I was going to say Huddersfield this weekend, though they don't have to attract any crowds because they're away at St Helens, and that brings me to Sean Long.
How
much are Saints going to miss Sean Long?
Very hard to say, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
You only discover that when somebody's gone, don't you? If Saints' halfback play suddenly declines markedly, then we can say they're missing him very badly.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows? And, you know, it's disappointing to see him going to rugby union, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm sure he's, you know, going to be very well paid at Harlequins.
What you would say is if we're assuming he's been coaching the halfbacks, which I'm sure he has been doing, you look at the last 2 or 3 years, Richardson's emerged. Farge has got a hell of a lot better. Lomax is arguably the best, well, one of the best sixes in the comp.
Having been a fullback.
So he's obviously done a job. You know, he's improved players, he's made them better. So he's going to be tough to replace on that count. Who they're replacing with, obviously, Richard Marshall is going to be. But I don't think Richard Marshall will be coaching the halfbacks, will he?
He's normally, when we're at Cass doing bits and bats, say we're doing defence.
Yeah.
And I would imagine he'd do the same. I mean, with no offence to Richard Marshall's Halifax side, they weren't known for being classy with the ball.
Because that doesn't mean they won't bring somebody else in as well, does it? Which could potentially happen.
Just before we move on to the final two matches, which we've not really touched upon yet, just a quick mention for Sky Sports and, you know, how unlucky they were on Friday night with their choice of game, because Wakefield v Leeds wasn't
the
best.
Yeah, but didn't we say last week?
Wow,
Cass Huddersfield should have been the telly game.
We did.
You did actually. You said that. Didn't
so
you?
Yeah. There you go. It's almost like
should come to us, and we'll tell Sky where they should go.
Where should they go?
This week? This is
in a nice way.
This is Aaron's bid to be the director of rugby at Sky.
I'm gonna do it. Send them to Lee Bradford this weekend. Yeah. Bin everything else off.
And then there's Salford v Wakefield on Sunday.
That's
a big game.
That is a really big game because the loser is suddenly chasing ground in the top five.
I think they've both lost four in a row, haven't they?
I know Wakefield definitely have.
Yeah, yeah.
But Aaron, I mean, does it put Salford in trouble if they get beat?
I don't mean trouble in terms of the bottom. I mean,
no, but I am suggesting in terms of the bottom, because Matthew raised that earlier. I'm not suggesting
how many points are they on?
14.
Yeah, maybe it does. Yeah.
The really weird thing about Salford is that every so often they put in a great performance. You know, you think back to them at Catalans.
Yeah, they've done well against Wakefield and Boston as well.
And Warrington. So maybe it's time for one of those performances again.
Magic was the only time I've seen them recently, but
They weren't great.
Stunk the place out, didn't they? At Magic,
First half.
Yeah, well, horrendous. But like I say, I think a top team would have took them up before half time.
Seriously though, there's a lot needs to happen for Salford to get dragged into
two points
difference as well.
I actually think they might win this weekend. Like Martin says, they do generally put a performance in every so often, especially when it's needed.
If they win, does that put Wakefield in trouble?
Well, Wakefield on 16.
Last game to talk about, Thursday's TV game, Castleford v Hull. We touched upon it briefly earlier. Winner feels a bit more secure in the playoff positions.
Well, if Hull win, I think their place in the top five is assured.
Oh, we don't know about that.
They'll be on 22 points.
Especially when they lose by 1,000 every third.
There'll be a guaranteed, there'll be 4 or 6 points ahead of the
top team. They'll be in control. They'll be in control.
So,
they've got the semi-final coming up, which is naturally a distraction, though.
Well, it is, but, who knows. But
if this...
So they could really pull themselves into a really strong position.
I think if this weather carries on into Thursday night, I think Hull would be going in very strong favourites with Mark Snead's kicking game out there.
If this weather continues, do we need to have some kind of disclaimer on these fixtures?
Please check
Twitter before setting off for your game at the weekend.
It'd be great if all the games got... Oh, we didn't have to work this week. Oh,
got rained off.
What would you do if that ever happened?
Have a party.
Just have a smaller newspaper.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, yeah. Let's talk about the Championship.
I'd start with Swinton.
Brilliant,
4-figure crowd. They gave it a real go, and you know what? They look like they might actually have a chance of staying up.
We have to talk about it, don't we?
Go on, then.
The Taranto situation. Where do we start?
Well, it was just an absolutely bloody stupid thing to say, wasn't it? I mean, how could anybody, particularly somebody in his position, in David Argyle's position, not understand what he was saying and what impact it would have? I mean, he's apologised profusely for it, and he's sacked himself, apparently, from, his positions with the Wolfpack. And the RFL is still, as we speak, apparently investigating it, but I'm not quite sure what there is to investigate, because he's admitted it and, so on and so forth. But what will happen? It's not clear.
We should say it's a horrendous situation for Jose Kenga to find himself in. And he did really well at the weekend. He had a good game as well. And having that to deal with over the last few weeks does need investigating, not just what was said, but how it was dealt with as an initial complaint as well.
Yeah.
What seems to have happened, though, is that they don't seem to have kept Jose Kenga in the...
No, I think that's the big thing, the lack of communication.
They didn't sort of tell him what was going on and let him know.
The RFL have a big, big call to make here in terms of the punishment. I mean, David Argyle has accepted fault. He's not denying he said it. And he stepped down and whatever. But what do the RFL do? What is their stance now? Because it's got to be a strong stance.
It's just got to demonstrate that sort of behaviour to players just isn't acceptable.
What should the punishment be?
But if there was a brawl on the pitch and clubs decided to suspend their players, wouldn't the players or the club still get a fine anyway, regardless of what punishment they took internally? Mm. So you'd assume that's what they'd have to do here.
I will say this about David Argyle. I think he's had a wonderful contribution to rugby league.
He's done something quite remarkable.
The amount of money he's invested and what he's done with Toronto, I think, has been outstanding. Personally, do I think he'll step away from Toronto? No, I don't. I know he's stepped down.
He's got too much at stake in it, hasn't he? And it's really.
I think it's a sad story. Is probably the wrong word, because it's not like there's anything to feel sorry for him for, but I think it is it's disappointing that this.
Disappointing is the word.
Just one little factoid while we're on about this. Just a remarkable historical coincidence that on Friday, the 14th of June, on the 14th of June 1919, that was the day we had the first powered flight over the Atlantic by Alcock and Brown, who set off from Newfoundland in Canada. So who would have imagined 100 years later we'd be having a team coming backwards and forwards virtually every week?
I'm pretty sure the Thunderbirds foretold it. Anyway, Kenga and his teammates did a phenomenal job on the pitch, as we discussed earlier. Great crowd as well. And like we said, they gave Toronto a game. It was good on TV as well. Elsewhere in Toulouse, kept their crown as the best of the rest as they battled to defeat York. Fev jumped to third after beating Sheffield. They're on a great run.
I think Featherstone, in some respects, are the biggest threat to Toronto this year. Yeah. I think they're really playing well.
Can't remember who told me, it might have been you, but they're now the second favourite with the bookies to go up.
Yeah.
Lee beat Halifax. They've really not performed since the Challenge Cup, Matthew.
It's a diversion, isn't it?
No comment.
They're not going to make the five, are they now?
Can't play away from home.
The fact that there's 8 weeks between the semis, quarters and the semis.
The positive for Halifax is that pretty much all of their games against the top lot are all at home, and they do have a phenomenal... They've lost three games at home in the last two seasons.
At the same time, what would Halifax fans rather do? Finish fifth and losing week one of the playoffs, or get to the Challenge Cup semi-finals? And what would the club's... What would the club's accountants rather do? Finish fifth and losing week one, or get to the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup?
Or the final.
Or the semi-finals. I think it'll go down to be a successful season.
Hang on.
Or the final.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Who beat London in the Challenge Cup?
Brilliant.
Who beat St Helens this week? London, thank you very much.
Is this you going on the record saying Halifax will win?
No.
Because you can clip that, Ben, then, when Saints win by 100. One thing on St Helens that we've not said, though, is that this time last year, everyone was on their backs saying, because in rugby league, we never praise anyone. We just criticise, praise or grumble. But everyone was slamming Saints and all the burnout. They're not rotating the team. Now, that did prove to be right. However, this year, they are rotating their team and everyone's on their back saying that they're conspiring to get Hull KR relegated or something ridiculous like that. What they're actually doing is looking after the number one. Yeah. And when those semis and those finals come around, they'll be better this year.
This isn't the first time that Saints have rested players.
No, they did it on Easter Monday and won.
And they did it against Catalans and murdered them.
And murdered them.
So let's not make out that this is a conspiracy against OKR.
That's right.
Bradford beat Battley, just to go back to that discussion.
They needed that.
On the Championship. Down the bottom, it's not quite over yet for Rochdale, but they did suffer another big defeat at the hands of Dewsbury. Weren't really scoring that many points themselves before that game, were they?
Scored 50.
And Barrow remain 3 points from safety after a defeat.
A gap
opening
up now, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah, that were a big weekend, that with Dewsbury winning and
staggered.
Widnes slowly going back up the table.
Saw Barrow round one play Batley, and they were really good. I just don't know why.
There are some quite good teams in that competition, Matt. That's the point.
Oh, yeah,
shout out for Batley as well, I think, who are letting everyone in for free this weekend, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I don't know what you've written down.
Right here, it's my next paragraph.
Right, go on then.
Right, okay. Just before we move on to League One and the French Championship, just to mention for Batley's match with Sheffield on Sunday, it's the third annual Joe Cox Memorial Game. Free entry at the Foxes Biscuit Stadium. It is, Aaron, yeah, totally free. With loads of events taking place.
We've clipped that last bit out.
No, I'm going to keep it all in. Okay. It's fine. Clever clocks.
Anyway. I'll tell you what, when it's boiling, there ain't many better places to go than Batley.
Just as a ring pounds on the window.
It's Wednesday.
There's plenty of time.
There is time. But Batley...
It's a great little stadium.
It is. Yeah, they have that trailer behind
they do.
Back.
The bit at the back,
got the little garden terrace where you can have a beer.
And it's for a very, very, very,
very
good cause.
If I
could go anywhere as a fan to enjoy my day with a few beers and some food, it would be Batley.
Should say, I suppose...
Where would you go instead?
Lots of grounds.
Where? Go on, name them.
What, rugby league?
Yeah. Perpignan, Toulouse.
No. Next.
The Shear?
No.
The Shear? No. Three pigeons afterwards.
Mm. No, admittedly, I'll give you that.
No, it's a nice ground. I hope they get the weather because, it's a great cause that they're trying to raise money for.
I should say, I spoke to Joe's sister yesterday and loads of events taking place. Tanya Arnold's going to be there as well, giving out trophies to local kids and stuff.
Oh,
so.
Well, great.
It's going to be a great occasion. Just to say, in League One, we're dead on halfway, 10 games left, and Whitehaven are top by 3 points, following a win over Coventry Bears. Hunslet is a second after nilling Keighley.
Yeah, that sacking Craig Lingard worked.
Well done.
It did, didn't it?
Are they on minus one still?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
Stupid. Good. Newcastle staying fifth following a win at North Wales, while Doncaster also nilled their opposition. They defeated Oldham. And Workington remain in contact with the playoffs following a win at West Wales.
Can we rewind about 15 seconds? I watched a bit of Donny Oldham.
Watson Boas, the try list.
That try was ridiculous.
I wish I'd seen that try. I'd have made it the League Express try of the week. I just didn't see it. Because, you know, I mean, there were some great tries at the weekend at Hull. Yeah. And we gave it to Jamie Shaw, didn't we? But
there is a
still that Watson
there, like,
Boas try.
Eight people are chasing him at the same time and they just can't get a glove on him. It's fantastic.
But in general, I watched a little bit of that game because it was a little bit earlier than Toronto were on. They were good with Donny.
Yeah.
I'm well impressed. Yeah. But why even top?
I know.
I would have never ever tipped that at the start of the year.
Big game
doing it locally as well.
Big game this weekend: Newcastle Thunder versus Whitehaven.
Yeah,
Newcastle
really
are
big
good,
game.
Aren't they?
Yeah,
Newcastle are coming good. They've
signed a few players, haven't they?
Bloody Matt Wright from the NRL, aren't they?
Have they? Right,
yeah. Not messing around.
I'd be pleased if Whitehaven got up because I like Cal Forster. Thought he got a bit of a raw deal at Rochdale. Having gone there as player coach, and he served Whitehaven very well as player coach, so it'd be nice if they go.
Bold move. I spoke to Cal when he went back to Whitehaven. It is a bold move to go back
just
a player.
Just a player,
and he's doing really well.
Yeah,
so. But I do think Newcastle are really determined to get up this year, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh my god.
If
there is a conscious effort, isn't there, from everyone to get out this year because Ottawa are going to probably win it in 2020. New York may well win it.
Are Ottawa going to be in next year?
If they come in,
I don't know.
We need to.
I don't think they're going to be.
No, I can't.
My logic is right. We're at middle of June now, effectively. They said a couple of weeks ago they think they'll be in, but they've a few things to iron out. Well, we've had no update as of yet.
No.
They
clock's
haven't
ticking.
Now let's get this straight. They've not really started recruiting because have you heard anyone linked with Ottawa yet? Has anyone said to you Ottawa have been in touch? No. So when are they putting the squad together?
Well, there's not been a final announcement about them coming into the league,
it's
there?
Not happening.
No.
I'd be staggered if Ottawa in next year.
If it does go to 2021, that's when we start talking about. I don't want to talk about this because it's so
don't
expected.
Say league restructure.
Okay, fine. Moving on. Everyone knew what I was about to say, so I don't need to say it, do I? Well, from League One to Elite Un.
Lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. And congratulations to sorry, I surprised myself then when I got my D in GCSE French. Yeah. And congratulations to Carcassonne, who last weekend won the Lord Derby Trophy following a 22-6 victory over Saint-Estève. And on Tuesday, I caught up with French Rugby League Oracle Mike Rylands to hear how the final went.
The final was an engaging sort of game, actually, although it has to be said that Carcassonne dominated it from the start. And Saint-Estève Trescatalon, the Catalan Dragons reserve team, if you like to call them that, are a very, very young side and really couldn't find a way through. So that at half time it was 10-6. The Catalans managed to score a try by a very promising young forward called Hugo Salabio. But that was pretty much all they had to offer. Even players like Arthur Mourgue, a promising young standoff, tried to find a way through, but Carcassonne's defence was too experienced and too well focused to allow the Catalans through. So Carcassonne did pick up, as you say, their first piece of silverware for the season, and they'll be hoping to repeat that in the championship, no doubt.
It's been a great season so far for Carcassonne. They finished the regular season or the normal season top of the table as we head into the playoffs. I mean, what's the season been like for the club?
It's been an unusually good season, and I say that because, as we know, during the close season, they went into administration. The club was reformed. They brought new players in to some extent, and the whole community rallied round, and they've never looked back. To the extent that they have, during this last part of the season, again, dominated. They were clearly first in the table ahead of the Catalans, Lezignan and Limoux. And so if they win the championship in a couple of weeks' time, it won't be a big surprise.
And when it comes to the other teams who've made the playoffs, obviously, you know, the Catalans are there as near neighbours to Carcassonne, Lezignan and Limoux, but also Albi and Villeneuve as well.
Yeah, that's right. So Carcassonne and the Catalans get a direct passage into the semi-finals. And then we have the playoffs this coming weekend between Lezignan in third place and Villeneuve in sixth. And then Limoux, who were fourth, and Albi in fifth. Now, you would expect the two teams, obviously in third and fourth, Legnon and Limoux, to find a way through to the semis. But that would be to discount the efforts of Villeneuve, who've come along quite a bit in recent weeks. Their coach, Julien Rinaldi, is going back to Australia. And Peter Godinet, who some people may remember as a Samoan scrum half who had a brief spell with Wakefield, has taken over the coaching. So their challenge is not really to be discounted. They could cause possibly an upset at Lézignan, although Lézignan themselves will be well focused. Albi have also, since midway through the season, begun to find their true form against the Limoux side, which again has wobbled from time to time and perhaps not done quite as well as might have been expected. So we've got two playoffs there which are difficult to call, even though you would expect Lézignan and Limoux to go through.
And we'll come to your predictions shortly, Mike, as well. But I just want to mention for the teams who didn't quite make the playoffs, and the staggering one really is last year's champions Avignon.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, I mean Avignon finished next to bottom, and I did speak to their coach Ronald Geig a while back and asked him what went wrong, and I think it was the old case of complacency in the first place. They did extremely well to win the championship last year, it has to be said, partly due to a series of events beyond their control, namely the dropping out of Saint-Estève, disqualification of Saint-Estève, let's say. But they took their chance last season that it was always going to be difficult for them to repeat this year, particularly since their squad was disrupted by the absence of a couple of key players, one through injury and another one through suspension. They did kind of start to get it back together towards the very end of the regular part of the season, but it was too little too late.
And for the second season, forgive me, my Wikipedia page hasn't gone back another year yet, but to lose Olympic bottom for the second season on the trot, obviously it's their reserve side, can't read too much into that, but one reserve side doing fairly well up at the top end and one reserve side from the British system at the bottom of the table. So what do we read into that?
Well, I think you read into that the difference between Super League and Championship, actually. Because to maintain the Toulouse Olympique side at the French Championship level is a very costly exercise. And they are all young players, some of whom have made their debut already in the Championship, British Championship side. But most haven't. And it's an inexperienced side, but you have to give them credit that there haven't been too many blowout scores against them. In fact, quite the opposite. They've put up a fight where you might not have expected them to do so. So full credit to them. Although they finish bottom, there's a lot of hope there for the future, I think.
But that then leads us on to this season and the coming weeks for the playoffs up at the top end. And obviously, Carcassonne are going into it as favourites. But like we've touched upon, there's all kinds of dark horses in these fixtures to come. So what's your gut feeling about where it's all heading?
Whoever wins the two playoffs that are coming up this weekend, I don't think that is going to make an awful lot of difference, actually. I would expect Carcassonne and Saint-Estève, Tres Catalans, to be repeating their cup final in the championship final on the 9th of July. And I can't honestly see how, from the cup final, how the Catalans are going to beat Carcassonne unless other players come in. I mean, one or two were ruled out because they were pulled into the Dragons squad at the weekend, but I don't really think that would have made an awful lot of difference, to be honest. But yeah, assuming that the two sides, Carcassonne and Saint-Estève, are the same for the championship final, then I would expect Carcassonne to win again and do an almost I won't say unprecedented because they've done it before in the distant past, but an unexpected double would be my prediction.
And like you said, I mean, just finding them. I mean, what would that mean for Carcassonne? Because it's a club with a proud history. It's been a bit intermittent over recent years. But what would that kind of level of achievement mean for the club? Do you feel?
Oh, that would mean an immense amount. Clearly, although Carcassonne have won more trophies than any other club in French Rugby League, not forgetting the fact that the cup that they won at the weekend was their 15th in all, it would still mean an enormous amount, and it would give a great deal of confidence to the town as a whole, which has been under pressure from rugby union in recent years as well. So, yeah, it would be a reaffirmation of the value of rugby league in the city of Carcassonne, and that can only be something that we would all welcome.
Mike Rowlands there, and a big congratulations to Carcassonne. In my research for that interview, I watched Carcassonne play Wigan in the Regal Trophy back in the early 90s.
Where did you find that?
It's on YouTube. It's all on YouTube. Right. We spoke about attendances earlier in Super League. Just a mention for the Championship and League One attendances, because you've put a bit in your column.
Yeah, they're rising, aren't they? You know, they are rising slowly. I mean, that's partly because there are 14 teams in the Championship this year compared to 12 last year. But I think there's still some really encouraging signs.
Was it 8 of the Championship clubs I've seen?
Something like that, yes. Yes, it was.
I think the word encouraging is the right word. Let's judge at the end of the year to be, to get a full account of where they've gone. They are encouraging, there's no doubt about that, but as the season dies down and certain clubs don't have anything to play for, they can drop. So without trying to put a negative spin on, you know that I'd want the Championship to thrive more than anyone.
But these days, there are not that many Championship crowds that fall below 1,000, are there?
They're sparser than they were.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the weekend just gone, 6 out of 7 got four-figure crowds. Only Dewsbury didn't quite mind you.
And York got 1,600 against Toulouse. It's a good effort, that.
And Warrington, going pro Super League, Warrington got 10,000 for a game against Catalans. They packed the away end out with 1,500 community players, families, and it was like a quid in and stuff. It's and they had kids going around the pitch at half time.
Was it 6 community clubs there?
Seven. Got, aren't they? Yeah, and it was great. It was great atmosphere, actually. All four sides of the ground cheering and whooping. Catalans were awful.
Judge attendances at the end of the season, but all in all,
we do get. There's no sport that gets more bogged down with attendances in rugby league, though, is there?
Absolutely not.
I mean, bloody county cricket. You get about 30 there, don't you, watching county cricket?
Does anyone care?
Gets bailed out massively on 2020, doesn't
bailed
it?
Bailed out. Bails. Like yeah, good.
Yeah, bailed
excellent.
Out.
Yeah. Interesting comments as well from Fred Dunn last week on international expansion. I mean, when you get your company's logo on the pitch at the new camp, you must be pleased as the sponsor.
And he didn't have to pay for it, actually, because that was just part of being in Super League, wasn't it? So he didn't have to pay anything extra for the privilege, which obviously would please any sponsor. And that's the key, actually, isn't it, with sponsorship. If a sport over-delivers, which I think Rugby League has done, and Fred certainly made that clear, that, you know, in his opinion, Rugby League has delivered more than it promised.
Yeah, I saw something. I read the piece, albeit fleetingly, hungover on Monday morning. I saw a quote which I thought was a Sabbath. I don't work Mondays, so I go out Sunday night. Every Sunday without fail. He said something about horse racing, didn't he, that they've pulled back on... Oh, yeah, they've removed £6.5 million from racing because they don't get value for money from it, but they've upped the Rugby League deal, which I think is great.
Absolutely, yeah. Which
Fred Dunn thinks rugby league's worth investing in, then it's pretty sound bet that it is.
His comment that he made directly after they announced the partnership deal of talking about the new camp is exactly why I think you're going to see
Magic
going abroad. Maybe a Challenge Cup doubleheader going abroad.
He said that in here, didn't he, about Magic?
There's going to be more.
Will we see Super League be a bit more open arms to the idea of international expansion?
Who says they aren't?
Quotas on international teams.
Which is fair enough.
The other thing Fred said, by the way, that was really interesting for Rugby League is that his Rugby League business has increased fourfold.
Yeah, I saw that,
From, you know, before he
it's amazing,
sponsored
isn't
Super
it?
League.
Amazing.
Well, put it this way, if Super League is looking for new sponsors and partners for various things, that comment, you seal it in gold, don't you?
I wonder what Coral's deal sort of benefit is like in comparison, because Betfred are title sponsor of Super League.
The difference is Betfred are proactive and Coral don't seem to be.
Yeah, but Betfred are in the public eye 30 weeks, aren't they, with Super League, whereas the Challenge Cup comes up once in a blue moon.
I hope that Betfred sort of expand their markets a little bit, because sometimes I think rugby league betting can be a little bit basic. And people do moan about that. So if they're seeing an increase, if they can sort of provide the best possible outlet.
I want a Northern Ray Winstone on the telly during the adverts. That's what I want.
Try to think of an ideal candidate
for
that.
Mick Morgan. What about John Cooper Clarke?
John Cooper Clarke would be ideal.
Salford Fires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, from Broughton. Anyway, any other business just before we go on that note? Bat chat on Thursday.
Yeah, good show this week. We've got Alex Meller on talking about his move to Leeds and everything else. We have Francis Cummins on, who talks about what he's doing nowadays and the coaching stratosphere and all the perils that come with that. And we also have on Pete Smith from the Yorkshire Evening Post.
Excellent. Aaron, Guardian?
With Luther Burrell, today's paper, if you're listening on Wednesday, big piece with him. Some stuff coming up this weekend as well, which is a secret at the minute. And not because I don't know what it's about yet, but definitely not. Yeah. But yeah, some good stuff.
Okay. And Martin?
Some great stuff in League Express on Monday. Our Rugby League Heroes feature, by the way, this week will feature Jamie Bloom. I'm not sure whether Rugby League Heroes...
What a player.
Not sure whether Rugby League Heroes is quite the right way to describe Jamie.
No.
Very controversial guy.
He is a Rugby League hero.
But he's certainly a great guy, in my opinion, and has a tremendous amount to say about rugby league and about his own career.
Aaron's saying it doesn't really is.
Worth reading.
Well, excellent stuff. And, that's the end of the show. A big thanks to Mike Rylands for joining us as well. But wherever you're going this weekend, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.